A very good morning, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Kuftes Vav, Baba Basra 115, Masnisen, just below midway on the page at the beginning of a line. Seder Nachalos Kachi, this is the order of inheritance according to Torah law. As we've mentioned in previous sessions, if a person wants to do differently than what's described in this body of law, then there are ways that they could gift property one moment before their passing so that they should have benefit of the property during their lifetime, but that it should be transferred from them before their passing. After a person dies, the property is no longer theirs in order to transfer it. This is a difference between secular law and Torah law, in that in secular law, it appears that you're able to write a will which takes effect, is respected after the passing. In Torah law, that's not legally binding. You can't transfer after the passing. It already has Torah law step in and decide who gets what. It does have the status, though, of mitzvah lekayim divrei hames at the very least. It's a mitzvah on the inheritors to fulfill the directive of the deceased, so that while it's not totally binding, there is perhaps even more than a moral directive over here, but it's not in a full sense legally binding. In any case, the Mishnah is going to describe what the Torah law would be in the case of inheritance. The pasuk says, Ish ki yamus uvein ein lo. A person who dies and does not have a son, va'avartem es nachaloso levito. Then you transfer the property to the daughter. So the word va'avartem is understood to indicate that sometimes that will enable a transfer of property to a different shevet, because the daughter could marry a man from a different tribe, and then this property would be transferred to a different tribe in terms of ownership. Sticking, though, to the simple message of the pasuk, ben kodem labas. A son comes before a daughter. We now know that a son is an inheritor. It's only when there's no son then the daughter gets it. And we also know that the daughter is an inheritor under certain circumstances. And here the Mishnah continues with what's really, I believe, the emphasis of this Mishnah, the chiddush of the Mishnah, that kol yotzei yirecho shel ben kodmin lavas. All the descendants of the son are going to come before the next eligible relative, which means that the daughter in this case, who's the next eligible relative, is not going to get an inheritance until we've totally exhausted our investigation, so to speak, regarding the first closest relative. And that means, using words, that if Yaakov has two children, Reuven and Dina, Reuven is the first eligible relative to inherit. Before we move on to the second eligible relative to inherit, which would be to say, there is no living son, so we go to the daughter. Before we do that, we have to first exhaust all eventualities regarding Reuven. And that means to look whether he has a son or a grandson and continue with the concept of the first eligible relative, which is a son, before we move on to the second eligible relationship, which is daughter. And therefore, the result is that if Reuven, even if he's passed away, and even if his son Chanoch has passed away, and even if the grandson has passed away, but there's a great-grandson, that great-grandson would get it before Dinah does, even though he seems to be a more distant relative. This will play itself out on the next level as well. If there is no son or descendant of a son, then we go to the daughter, that's Dinah in our case, and we're going to look at Dinah, and likewise, before we move on to any other relative, such as going up to the father of Yaakov, namely Yitzchak, or if Yitzchak's not around, to go down to Esav, the brother of Yaakov, none of that is going to happen until after we've exhausted all eventualities regarding Dinah, meaning, does Dinah have any descendants? A son, a grandson, a great-grandson. And if that doesn't work, we'll look at a daughter, and likewise, moving down in the generations. The Mishnah tells us, Koyotze Yerecho Shel Ben Kodem Labas, all descendants of that first relative are going to come before the second relative. In our first example, that means a son and his descendants before the daughter. And by the way, not only sons of the son, but also if there's a daughter, that would also qualify before we move on to the second relative. The Mishnah continues on the next line, Vasko Demis La'achin. A daughter comes before the brothers of the deceased. That's referring to Dinah in our case, Yaakov's daughter, before the brother of the deceased, meaning Esav, would be considered eligible. Likewise, Yotze Yerecha Shabbas Kodun La'achin, as we explained, the descendants of the daughter would come before we start navigating other types of relationships, and that would include the father of the deceased is not going to be considered eligible until we verify that there are no descendants. Achin kodmim la'achei ho'av, the brother of the deceased is going to be considered an inheritor before the uncle, before the brother of the father of the deceased. That would mean Esav comes before Yishmael, who's the brother of the father. And of course, the father of the deceased would come before even the uncle, because first we would be memashmesh, we would navigate our way up, and then we would be coming down to Yitzchak's descendants. Yotze Yerechon Shal Achin Kodmim La'achei Ho'av, and likewise the descendants of the brother, meaning Esav, would come before Yishmael, because once we hit Esav, we would be looking at all of his descendants before we go up to the next level. Zeh klal, this is the way it works. Kol kodim benachla yotze yirecho kodmin. Whoever is first in inheritance, his descendants as well come first before we start looking further up to find the closest relative. And the result is that somebody who you might consider a closer relative might actually be later in inheritance because of the pattern that we're using. As we mentioned earlier, Yaakov's great-grandson would come before Dinah. Likewise, Dinah's great-grandson is going to come before Yaakov's uncle, Yishmael. Even though the descendant may seem much more distant, But in the pattern that we're using, once a person is an inheritor, we look at them as if they're the deceased. And we follow the pattern again. Sons, son, daughters as a possibility. And then we're going to go up to the father. And from the father, we're going to keep coming down. Son, daughter, and so on, looking for a relative to inherit. And the father comes before his descendants, meaning that if Yaakov is the deceased, so we're going to go up to Yitzchak before we come down to Esav. The Gemara tells us that this is learnt based on an expression, ayin alav. Not only do we look at the inheritor, but we analyze the inheritor. We go in depth in the inheritor, looking to see if that inheritor has an inheritor before we go on to other relatives. And so, on the top of Amud Beis, HaKetzad, how does this work? Nachla mimashmeshes veholeches ad Reuven, the inheritance will go step by step all the way up to Reuven, if necessary, from any person who passes away, will go back through the generations, through the family tree, until you get to the founder of the Shevet. V'lema ad Yaakov. Why don't you say that the inheritance will go back all the way to Yaakov? Why do you stop at Reuven? Amar Abaye. Abaye explains, Gemiri, because we have a tradition, to lo kala shifta, that a tribe will never be lost. And therefore, the highest you would ever have to go, because you're desperate, you can't find a relative, would be all the way up to Reuven, and then a different branch of the Reuven family would certainly have a descendant, because we know that every Shevet will remain. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.